God this morning. You know, it's always a privilege to stand up here, and I don't think many of us can comprehend the depth and the level of intensity that it takes to stand up here and share the good news and the Word of God. It's no light thing. No light thing. And unfortunately, you know, as we can say, we don't envy pastors in the world, especially those that are true to the Word of God. There's a different judgment. It's a different level of accountability, because you have to rightly discern and divide the Word of truth. And it's very important that we understand that. Excuse me if I kind of get sidetracked and go south a little bit. I ask for the help of the Lord. But it's been a pretty busy weekend for me, and I just thank God. I got a chance to see this weekend family I haven't seen for 20, 30 years. I mean, and just how God brings everything together to, you know, accommodate us. Sometimes you stand in awe. But it's not just an opportunity to visit with family members and loved ones. It's also a time of sharing, to be able to let people know when the conversation ensues, as God opens that door, where you stand. Because there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And so it's very important that you take advantage of these opportunities. And many of us have. You know, for me, it was just this weekend. Family reunion was awesome. Got a chance to see, like I said, family members and talk to people. They're always fashionably late. Some of them will be here today. But welcome to the club. That's the Vassar clan for you. You're thankful for your loved ones. And I know most of us here, sitting here today, have one great joy and hope, and that is that our loved ones will be in heaven one day with us.
That's right.
There's nothing that we can say, nothing we can do to achieve what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on our behalf,
right,
as we celebrate it this morning, that God has made a way for us. He's given us access to Himself. He's given us access to the very throne room of God. What kind of God do we serve? It's a loving God. It's an awesome God. And the privilege that we have to serve Him in the capacity that He's put us in this life. Boy, we would fall short if we didn't share with our loved ones.
That's right.
We would fall short if we didn't share the greatest joy and love ever given to men. Wow.
Amen, brother.
Wow. I can't tell you how blessed we are.
Amen.
I know I'm blessed. How about you?
Amen.
You know, when you're sick, when you're down in the dumps, you cry out to the Lord.
That's right.
And He answers prayer.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I don't get sick very often, but when I get on I feel like I'm on my deathbed. You can't move. You can't think. My wife, what's wrong with you? But when I'm down, I'm down. How many of you understand where I'm coming from if you're not sick very often? But boy, what an opportunity to channel your thoughts and your mind and put it in your hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to heal you, to lift you up off your sick bed.
Amen.
These are just some of the simple wonders and miracles that God does that we don't even deserve because of His goodness and His loving kindness. But today, enough of the, as I digress, I apologize, but I just had to share that this morning. Today we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians 15. So if you turn there with me. First Corinthians 15. Then we're going to ask the Lord to help us today. Give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us clarity in the truth of His Word, that He might be exalted in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we dive into His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your wondrous sacrifice on the cross. Lord God, that, Lord, we could be redeemed. Lord, that we can be forgiven. And Father, Your gospel message is so true. Lord, I ask that it ring true today in our hearts, in our minds, and even through our words and our deeds, Lord God. Father, nothing's too difficult for You. So we ask for Your help this morning, Lord God, that You would speak to every heart here. Let us hear Your voice, Lord God, that the voice of the stranger we won't follow. Lord, for you are faithful even when we're not. Edify your people today and draw sinners to yourself. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject today is pretty simple. Very simple. I got to be careful in closing my eyes because I just see grill and burgers and did that for like 10 hours yesterday. Still reeling. Got to do it again today. But it's a joy to serve. Amen. But today in the simplicity, I want to talk about the gospel. Very simply put, I want to talk about the gospel of God. The reality is the gospel is used very often throughout Scripture. At least 75 times in the New Testament alone that it's used. And it's so important that we understand the truth of the gospel. While we have various nuances of the meaning, its fundamental meaning from the Greek root means good news. It's pretty simple. Most of us know that. What is the good news? That's the question. There are varying degrees of people receiving that good news.
That's right.
And we have to be careful in this day and age in which we live of what type of good news we receive. Is it good news that makes you joyful? Is it good news that makes you happy? Is it good news that causes you to put more confidence in self? When God has clearly stated, there's nothing you can do to commend yourself to a holy God.
That's right.
Nothing that you can do. And so the good news, it's the joyous proclamation of God's plan of salvation for you and me. Because we've fallen so short of what He's required of us. There will be no doubt in my mind that in this day and age we have a true gospel and we have a false gospel.
All right.
And we have to understand which one we're going to stand on. We have to understand by which one that we are going to be saved by.
That's right.
There's only one truth. Everything can't be true. I'm reminded of a conversation I had yesterday. The question is simple. Is truth relative or absolute?
All right.
Because what is true for you has got to be true for me, or vice versa. But you can't have your own truth and then me my own.
Right.
Somebody has to be wrong. But this isn't a new problem. Paul dealt with the same thing.
All right.
2,000 years ago, he dealt with it. More importantly, Jesus dealt with it. When he came, he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God. So Paul, in Corinthians, defines this a little bit in his first letter to the church. So let's read 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. Depending on your version, I'm reading out of the New King James today. So just bear with me. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. I declare to you the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I have delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Here's a key point in this that we have to understand, and if we're going to understand and discern the true and false gospel, which we're going to talk about both today. The truth of the matter is, God died for our sins. Not according to some preacher.
That's right.
Not according to some propaganda you'll see in the media.
Right.
According to the Scriptures.
Valid.
Period. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it.
That's right.
And Paul says in another place, make sure that we don't go beyond what is written.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Why? Just look at our society.
All right.
They've cut their cords. They've broke their bands from the Lord.
All right.
To each his own. I'm free. We're celebrating freedom this weekend. When have we ever been really free?
Tell it, brother.
When have we ever been free? The problem that God has had to address is the fact that we fell.
All right.
You can't go back far enough to where you made the mistake. How often have we heard it? You can't go back far enough. It's not beyond what was written. It was from the beginning of time as we know it.
Yeah.
From the beginning of time. You go beyond that and you start adding things, it gets twisted.
Yeah.
It gets twisted.
Yeah.
And you can't. And so here Paul says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not according to some man's opinion.
Thank you.
Not according to philosophy. Not according to this day and age vain imagination of how they want to see God, who they think God is. God is not your buddy.
All right.
God is not your friend, even in the sense of, hey, I can go to God. I need something today. I can ask Him. Oh, He didn't answer me. Oh, my gosh. That's the wrong kind of friend. We sing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, right?
Amen.
Jesus is our friend in the sense of He's holy. He's righteous. He wants to take care of us. As a matter of fact, He wants us to be with Him forever.
Praise God. Thank you.
That's a pretty awesome God we serve.
Amen.
A God that doesn't want to throw you to the dust. He doesn't want you to crumple. He wants you to bring it to Himself.
That's right, brother.
And we thank Him for that. But this is all according to His Word. Not according to some psychological babble that we hear.
That's right, brother.
And that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. Why is that important that He was seen after He rose again? Just like you go to court, and now you're on trial. And boy, you're pretty stuck. It doesn't look good. All the evidence points against you. And you're stuck. And then all of a sudden comes along somebody out of the blue who's an eyewitness for you.
All right.
That eyewitness is validated to tell the truth. And all of a sudden the judge lets you off. Well, this is a hard thing for us to swallow because our finite minds cannot comprehend something so infinite.
That's right.
But He was seen. These are eyewitnesses.
Yeah.
As a testimony that He did rise again from the grave.
Praise God.
After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once.
Hallelujah.
Of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. But truly to comprehend the good news, Paul starts it here. And there are some elements in this chapter. This first 8 verses is packed with stuff. We must first understand, as I kind of alluded to a little bit in the intro, of the bad news. I can't comprehend the good news till I understand the bad news. Turn with me to Genesis. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm not going to give you too much of my opinion because it's not worth much. I want you to hear the word of the Lord today. Genesis chapter 3. It's easy to give your opinion, and everybody's entitled to it. But at the end of the day, there's only one truth.
That's right.
And everybody can't be right.
All right.
Everybody can't be right. Somebody has to be wrong.
That's right.
So this is how it all started. In the garden, Genesis chapter 3. There's a slimy little dude in the garden. The serpent. Now the serpent was more cunning in verse 1 than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, here's your first problem. Here's your first problem today. How people get off track and get off center. Have a perverted gospel version. Did God really say that? Are you sure? Did He say that? This is where it started. And how many opinions do you have today? Has God really said, oh, that's not what that Bible, He can't mean that. Oh, it's pretty cut and dry. You're a sinner. No, God didn't. I'm a good person. Based on what? In reference to who? Our problem is we compare ourselves to each other too much.
All right.
I'm not comparing myself to you, and you shouldn't compare yourself to me.
That's right.
We have a holy, perfect God that we are going to have to answer to and give an account.
That's right.
Boy, that's way different. You're not my problem. I'm not your problem. Our problem's with the Lord.
Amen.
And because we get it twisted at his own words, he said, has God indeed said you should not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, it's one thing to know good and evil, but to really comprehend what good and evil is, it's beyond you and me.
All right.
It's beyond you and me. Any stock I put in my own ability to comprehend anything in reference to a holy, infinite, everlasting God, I'm going to fall short at some point. You're going to fall short at some point. As we continue, here's what happens. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open. Here's all how it all starts. Every part of man, our will, our emotions, even our flesh, is corrupted at this point by sin. So what's our response to this very next passage? As the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Oh, this is good. This is the bad news, but it's good. They covered themselves. Once they came into this knowledge, they covered themselves. What happens when you get into trouble? What's the first reaction? Okay, adults, I won't pick on you. Let's pick on the kids. What's the first thing your kid does? Well, I didn't do it. Well,
exactly.
I didn't do it. Well, Johnny did it. Susie did it. Billy did it. You point the finger. And you make every attempt. Once that knowledge is revealed, once the truth is be known, Adam ate along with his wife Eve. He stood right there,
right,
while the serpent beguiled her. Not ashamed. He knew what was happening. And yet, he still ate. Their eyes were open. Uh-oh, now I got to cover up.
Right.
I'm in trouble. I got to cover up.
Fig leaves.
I got to bury myself in my own thing. I got to make myself look good here. And it gets better. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Uh-oh. You won't surely die. Remember the serpent's words? Oh, they're dead.
Yeah.
Why? They're hiding.
That's right.
They're hiding. When you do something wrong, you hide.
Amen.
When I do something wrong, I hide. Guilty. Not only to the person or whatever I've done, but to the one who sees all.
That's right.
My conscience won't allow me to just walk upright and be okay. But some of us have a seared conscience.
All right.
So it doesn't really matter. You disregard the things of God. You disregard his conviction. As so did Adam. As he stood by and watched his wife be beguiled by the serpent. The Lord God in the next verse called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Who told you you were naked? There's an impurity that comes from our sin. As when you stand in the presence of a holy God, everything's revealed. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Now you have to have accountability. Now accountability comes. Why'd you lie, son?
Right.
Why'd you do that when I told you not to? the truth be known. You can do two things at that point. And here's how we are as human beings. When the good news comes, I can either justify myself in what I've done, or I can simply say, you know what? I did it. I've sinned. I have to repent. I have to change my mind towards that sin. And if I don't, then judgment befalls, which we know the story. We've read this many moons, many times. And so here's what happens. Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave me." Uh-oh. I didn't do it. She did it. Go deal with her. Do you understand how this works? It's simple, but it's powerful because we act the same way. Wait a minute, I didn't do that. Mike did it. Well, Mike goes, "I didn't do it." Pastor Bill did it. I didn't do it. Renee did it. No, that was Nick. What are you talking about? You see the domino effect of our sin. We place blame. We have to make ourselves look good. And the Lord God said, "Okay," said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" The woman said, "Well, the serpent did it. He deceived me. And I ate." There's an element of truth to that. He did. But more importantly, it's not that she ate the fruit of the tree. That's not the issue. The issue is she disobeyed the commandments of God. When we disobey the commandments of God, everything comes apart. And people come to God for the wrong reasons. "I need to better my marriage." Well, that's not a reason to come to God. He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to make your marriage better. "Oh, I don't have any money." Lord wants you rich. How many of those have we heard?
Right.
Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it.
Right.
They're wrong. God doesn't have to do anything because we don't deserve anything but death and hell. But because of his love, he said, "Okay." So Eve points the finger and then the Lord deals with the serpent. That's really the moral of the story. We point fingers. And right when that sin happens, the bad news is we try and cover ourselves. We try and make ourselves look better. We want to transfer the blame to somebody else. But the problem is, when this happened in the beginning of time as we know it, man's mind went. Sin came into the world. God judged it accordingly. But in his infinite wisdom and mercy, they covered themselves with fig leaves. That's a sign of your own works. Trying to commend yourself. To make yourself right before a holy God when you've done wrong. You can't do it. You can't cover up. You can't run under a rock. You can't crawl in the closet. You can't hide yourself from God. I can fool my family. I can fool my brothers and the Lord. But he sees everything.
Amen.
And we've all heard it before. If I'm going to answer for my reception or rejection of the gospel message, you know, just the old tape recorder. Can you imagine everything you've ever said, every thought you've ever thought, everything you've ever done is sat down in the middle of the room? Let's just take the people in this room today and we're going to start one by one and we're going to play it. Oh, well, no, don't do that. I don't want people to know my sins. I don't want people to know. No, we can't do that. But you know what? It's going to happen. Anything that's said in secret, shout it from the housetops. Don't be fooled. We're going to give an account one day to a holy and just God for the things we've done in this body that he's rightfully given us. And so it happens. Because of our sinful nature, we at this point cannot and will not seek God. They hid themselves. They didn't go to God when they sinned. They hid themselves.
Preach it.
Man cannot and will not seek God on his own accord.
Right.
Not according to my opinion. According to the scriptures. There's none that seeketh after God.
Amen.
There's none, according to Romans 3. There's none righteous. No, not one. That's a hard pill to swallow for me. I got some good in me. I do some good. I love my family. I love my brothers and sisters. Well, that's not good enough.
Right.
What good are we talking about? Who's defined that good for you?
Tell us, brother.
Man's mind at this point has become hostile toward God.
Yeah.
Not according to me, according to Romans 8. According to the Scriptures. Turn with me to Romans 8. I don't want to give you my opinion today. Let's look at it. Romans 8. Paul's preaching about this. Start in verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son into the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. You know what? I didn't read beyond that, but if you go back to Genesis, don't do that. But if you read the rest of the story in Genesis, He completes it. The first death that we see is in time as we know it. He takes off of their own works and He gives them a covering, tunics. He shed blood.
That's right.
No, you take that off. I'm going to give you something from me.
Right.
They accepted that. They could have rejected that, but they accepted that.
Exactly.
As they left the garden. And He told Eve at that time, when judgment befell, when He was pronouncing His judgment, that, Eve, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and his seed. He's talking about the enemy.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Eve doesn't have a seed. The seed comes from a man, doesn't it?
Tell it, brother.
I think so. Holy birth.
Amen.
And conception by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Not by man, but by God Himself. This is the God we serve. Beloved, this is the true and living God we serve in the Scriptures. He's that loving that He wants to be. He became like us. Whew. And I've dabbled with a bunch of religions, and some of you have too. And I've had the privilege of being around the world and seeing various religions. But again, it's a simple question. What justifies you before God?
Yeah.
Flange yourself, you know. Keep Ramadan, you fast for this many days, you don't eat this, I don't eat this, I don't eat pork, I don't like that. Okay, that still doesn't justify you before a holy God. But we try very hard to exercise. I need to get in shape. All the food I ate yesterday, I probably really do need to get in shape. But we do. We will work hard. We watch our diet. We try things. If you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you you're dying and he says, this is what you need to do, what is your response to the doctor? You got it, doc.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. If it's going to cause me to live, I'm going to do it.
Right.
I'm not going to disobey your orders. You cannot eat this. You got to watch this. You got to have a checkup at this time. And you got to have an examination. We're going to do a CAT scan at this time. And if you're not here, you could perish. Oh, I'm all over it. Don't let my kids get in the way. Don't let my wife. No, I'm there. This is the gospel message. Here's what he says. Verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. How many of you know a lot of that's going on? But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God in and of yourself. You can sow all the fig leaves you want together. You cannot please Him in and of your own accordance. But here's the good news. The law of the Lord is perfect.
Amen.
In converting the soul.
Yeah.
The law of the Lord is perfect. Well, wait a minute. I'm confused now, Ray. You're telling me, wait a minute, the law is no good. No, the law is good. How is it perfect? Converting the soul, because the end of the law is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It leads you to your schoolmaster. Everybody put their hand up. Have you ever told a lie? If you have, put your hand down. If you've told a lie, put your hand down. If you've told a lie, put your hand down. It was a good question, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
If you've told a lie, okay, we all raised our hand. We all put them down. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. The law says, thou shalt not bear false witness.
Right.
We've just broken his law. Uh-oh, what's the answer? Wait a minute. My mind is at enmity against God. I cannot seek him. I won't seek him. There's none righteous. There's none that seeketh after God. I'm in trouble. What do I do to commend myself? Well, I'm never going to lie again. All right. I believe the Spirit was here this morning. I'm never going to lie again. Well, what about the lie you told?
Right.
Who's going to answer for that?
Right.
I'll never get a speeding ticket again. Well, what about the ticket you got today? Who's going to fix that for you? Well, God, that's who. Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's the only one that can fix your problem. That's the only one that can commend you to God. Matter of fact, I will tell you, Jesus did not die for you and I. He died for God. He died for himself.
That's right.
He had to justify himself.
Yes.
Then he invited us along with him.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Because my mind cannot seek him. My carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, verse 8, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. How about righteousness? How about that? Let's do righteousness, not in and of myself, but according to the righteousness that's in Christ.
Amen.
That's how I can achieve this.
Amen.
It's not on my own accord. It's by the help of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
God with us.
Amen.
Matter of fact, God in us.
Amen.
This is a holy God.
Thank you.
That just could wipe this out.
Amen.
Well, why doesn't God deal with that sin over there? Well, because you know what? He's patient. He's not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. Because if he shakes out the carpet, that means all of us.
All right.
He's the only thing in creation. We're the only thing in creation that he physically touched.
Right. Right.
That's how close he wants to be to us.
That's right.
Everything else he just called into existence. Wow. What a personal God we serve. But today the gospel is seen to fall on hard times. Because this is simple. It's not rocket science. Now one would find it hard to believe, considering how much Jesus has preached today. There's a lot of Jesus going around.
All right.
However, we have to distinguish and discern the real, like I said earlier, gospel from the true gospel. This is not a new problem. What people have done is they've perverted the gospel.
Amen.
They perverted the simplicity that's in the gospel.
Amen.
I took you to the beginning. This is how it started. Here's the problem.
Right.
We don't seek God. We've fallen away from him. We've hid ourselves from him. We won't come to him. There's no man that seeketh after God.
Amen.
He sought you out.
Amen.
He sought me out. He saved me.
Amen.
He wants to save you here today.
Amen.
If you're not in his company and in his body, he wants to bring you in.
That's right.
So let's look at it. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We've perverted the gospel. There are certain elements of the false gospel that I just want to point out because you really can't do it justice because we could be here for a lifetime. Verse 1. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. Craftiness. You see, today the serpent is operating in a subtle fashion. He's bold in some places. He's a dragon in some places. In other places, he's just a slimy old serpent barking in your ear. God didn't really say that. You don't really believe that. You can dress yourself. You can look dab. You can do whatever you want. You're still a sinner. And there's nothing you can do to commend yourself. There's nothing you can do to clean up yourself before a holy God. Why? Because we succumb to the craftiness of the enemy. For, in verse 4, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. That's the problem. We've perverted the gospel. This is what Paul was dealing with. This is what I said. It's nothing new. This is what Paul dealt with. He dealt with really two things, I would say. The apostles' battles was two things. I would sum it up to legalism and Gnosticism.
Yeah.
That's what they dealt with.
Right.
That's what they dealt with.
Yes, they did.
My good works to commend me to God. Get me out of this bondage, which the Pharisees were a great example of that.
Right.
But they were off too. They missed it.
That's right.
They were the back to the Bible movement of the day and they missed it. God stood right in front of them and they missed him. They knew exactly where he was going to be born. They missed him.
Wow.
Wow. Carnal minded. It's that enmity against God.
Right.
We've fallen. Unless we allow the Spirit to work in us and to open our eyes to the truth, we're in trouble. But what does perverted mean? The word perverted in the gospel means to turn around. We've been turned around, or some have been turned around. Away from what? From Jesus.
That's right.
Not only Jesus, but from the finished work.
Amen.
We've been turned around. And he says in verse 5, for I consider that I'm not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you? Whoa. Free of charge. Free of charge, we get the gospel preached to us. Free of charge. Free of charge, God has sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to die on the cross of Calvary for my sins, your sins. Past, present, and future. But we have to believe. We have to believe. Paul was proven. It wasn't any trickery in what he was telling the people of Corinthians. It was the simplicity. Wait a minute. Let's get rid of the garbage here. Let's get rid of the legalism. Let's get rid of the Gnosticism. Let's get rid of all that. All the isms. Let's focus on the true and living God in its simplicity. God humbled himself. Became a man. Took your place in my place.
Yes.
That we might be made right in him. Simple. But it's such a deep thing because the hardest thing for you and I to do is to believe.
That's right.
The hardest thing for us to do is to believe.
That's right.
Will God deliver my children? I have to believe he will. I have to trust him. He's faithful to his word.
Amen.
You know, geez, my wife gets under my skin. Lord, can you deal with her, please? He probably prays the same thing about me. But you know what? You have to believe. that God will work it out. You have to trust Him. It's not in and of yourself. But we hide behind that fear of looking bad before friends, relatives, brothers, sisters, doesn't matter, co-workers, employees. We want to look good. I want to keep up with the Joneses. I want to drive the Mercedes Benz. I want to drive the Escalades. I want to do all that stuff too. For what? For what? It doesn't commend you to God.
No.
You can have all the money that you want. I'm a basketball player by heart. I grew up playing the sport I love. God has gifted me to play it. Now the coach for many moons. But you know, at the end of the day, all these wonderful athletes with tremendous gifts, they're doomed if they don't come to Jesus.
Right.
They're doomed. How hard is it for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God?
All right, brother.
That's the gospel. How hard is it? Jesus preached the gospel to the rich young ruler. But did he come? Too much wealth. Yeah, I can look at it. I get kind of enamored by these multi-million dollar mansions these people live in with only two people. 30 bedrooms, 70,000 square feet, 50 garages, 20,000 cars. But you know what? They don't have Jesus Christ. They're doomed. Silver and gold won't save you in the day of judgment.
That's right.
It won't. Well, but Lord, Well, now we're in Matthew 7. Lord, Lord.
Right.
Did we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do these mighty works in your name? Yeah, you did. And I don't know you. You don't know me? Ouch.
Wow.
This is how far the perversion has gone. We're going to proclaim it. We're going to proclaim. We're going to beat the devil down. It's a hyped up gospel.
Right.
We're going to march in there. We're going to put Satan in his place. You cannot do it.
That's right.
Amen. James says, humble yourself.
Yeah.
In the sight of God.
That's right.
Resist the devil.
Amen.
And he will flee from you.
That's right.
Only by the command of God, if you obey it,
that's right,
can Satan not have any dealings with you. This is why I believe our Lord and Savior said when he was on this earth, when he came here, and I'm quoting the scriptures, I apologize, we won't have to run around scriptures, but he said, the enemy comes, but he has nothing in me.
Amen.
Here's the question, beloved. The good news has come to us. And if Jesus came today, would you be ready? Would you be ready?
Jesus.
What ties do you have to this world? Are you ready to let go?
Tell it, brother.
Blood is thicker than water. How many times have we heard that?
Right.
Wait a minute. If you love your brother, mother, sister, father more than me, you're not worthy of me. That doesn't mean don't love your family. People aren't taught this stuff. They just hear all the hype.
Right.
That doesn't mean don't love your family. That's a command of God.
That's right.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
There's no contradictions with God. Love your family. But it's not above Him.
Right.
It's not above Him.
That's right.
I can't put my wife above the Lord. Do I love her? Yeah, absolutely. She can't put me above the Lord. Does she love me? Sure.
Amen.
But you can't. Because when push comes to shove, hey, honey, we're going to go out and we're going to do some Bonnie and Clyde stuff. Let's go. No, you go right ahead. Do you see what I'm saying? You cannot put your family, your loved ones above God. Because on that day, when you stand before His judgment seat, and there's two, you don't want to be at the white throne judgment. But when you stand before Him, you're going to have to give account. But here's the bigger thing on Judgment Day. You will stand alone.
Amen. Right.
You're not going to be with your family. You're not going to be with your wife. You don't have to. You got to answer for yourself.
That's right.
God has taken everything into account anyway.
Right.
He already knows this. He's seen the past. He sees the present. He sees the future. He's already taken it into account. But you have to answer for everything you've done.
Praise.
Wow.
Praise you, Jesus.
But I must say, it starts with the teachers. This perversion of the gospel really starts with the teachers. Because teachers have corrupted the true and simple gospel message. Jesus died for you. Jesus came to do a work that only God can do. And the volume of the book is written of me. You don't require sacrifices. He requires obedience. Somebody to obey Him and to be faithful to Him.
That's right.
That's it. Are you faithful? No. Because if it was up to me, I'd do my own thing. If it was up to you, you'd do your own thing. But it's in its simplicity. And the teachers have corrupted it. Turn with me to Romans 1. Oh, actually, I'm taking it back. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Let's go to the Old Testament. Jeremiah 23. Because it does parallel Romans chapter 1. Jeremiah 23 parallels Romans chapter 1 in a big way. And I just want to point this out to you. Because I don't want you to receive my word. I want you to hear and receive the word of the Lord. Amen, brother. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 9. My heart, he says, is broken within me. It's broken because of the prophets, teachers, and all my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of His holy words. Jeremiah is broken at this point. But there are false prophets, empty oracles, empty promises. Well, you don't have enough faith, sister. You got to believe that Jesus will provide for you. Yeah, hallelujah, amen.
All right.
Okay. If I want a hype show, I'll go to a high school basketball game, a football game.
Right.
To get hyped.
That's right.
I need to learn. I need the Lord to teach me the truth of His word.
That's right.
Because hype only lasts that long. Because when you come down off that hype, it's back to reality.
That's right.
Let's jump down to verse 11. For both the prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them, the year of their punishment, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal, and they caused my people Israel to err. Also I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. Here's the big one. They also strengthened the hands of evildoers.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They've strengthened the hand of evildoers. Oh, brother, it's okay that you're homosexual. Oh, sister, it's okay that you're a lesbian. Oh, it's okay that you stole and you killed that person. God loves you. Oh, wait a minute. Are you confused? Who are we have to deal with here? This is a holy God.
That's right.
But you got teachers who are saying it's okay.
Yeah.
Look at the church today.
Right.
It's corrupted. And here's what my fear is more than anything else. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
The world is already under condemnation. That's a given. But the house of God? That's where it starts?
Yes.
I tremble.
Yes.
You should too.
Amen.
Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Is it I, Lord? Lord, is it I? But Jeremiah says it. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. If you want to deliver a loved one from their sin, you don't encourage them in it. You tell them to get out of it.
Exactly.
You don't encourage your loved ones in sin. You tell them to get out of sin.
Preaching.
Stop lying. Tell the truth.
That's right.
Don't hate without a cause. Love.
Amen.
According to agape love, not humanistic love. Humanistic love says, oh, God loves you just the way you are. Well, you know what? He doesn't.
That's right.
There's an element of truth that poisons the whole thing. God does love you in the sense of He sent his only son to die for you because of his love. But where it gets twisted, that God loves you, is wait a minute. He wants to make you a new creation. Just read, we can go on in Jeremiah and read on the potter and the clay.
That's right.
Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. I want to show you something. He's working with clay. Jeremiah 18?
Yeah.
Let's go there. He's working with clay. I'm glad I dropped that pen because it's been a death in me. He came to Jeremiah, verse 1. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. Uh-oh. It was ruined. When we fell in the garden, when Adam, Eve, ate of that fruit, we fell. And here's the subtlety. Oh, he ate the apple. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It says he ate fruit. Didn't say an apple. Well, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It was a great fish. It's the subtleties. This is the craftiness of the enemy. Take God at his word. And the vessel that he made on the clay was marred. Uh-oh, Adam and Eve ate. Now the image of God is distorted. It's ruined. So he made it again into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make. Wow. He didn't destroy it. He remade it. When God comes and he redeems us, he doesn't want to destroy you. He wants to remake you.
Amen.
There's nothing good in the old creation that you can take into the new. He has to get rid of everything. Start all over again.
Amen.
You've ruined my image. Why? Because you've sinned.
All right.
And I don't want to destroy you. So I'm going to come and take your place, that in your stead you can be redeemed according to my works, not your own. And I'm going to make you a new person in Christ Jesus. That's what he says. I'm going to make you a new person. Can't hang on to the old. I got to hang on to my old bad habits. I can't do that. But this is what he says. But teachers, they perverted it. Now go to Romans 1, because this parallels Romans 1, I believe. This is what people, and the other problem, as I move along, for the sake of time, I got to cook again today, so I don't want to be making me hungry. No. Romans 1. Paul's dealing with a lot. In the revelation of God and the unrighteousness of man, he says in verse 31, people are undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
Yeah, right.
You're not getting anybody out of their sin. You're just encouraging them in it.
Right.
I want my loved ones to be delivered from their sins. I don't want to encourage them in it. So who's got the guts to tell them the truth? Who's got the guts to tell your loved ones the truth?
Tell
it. I don't want you to die in your sins. I don't want you to go to hell. Not because of what I'm telling you. Because of what God has said.
Amen.
But he's given you the victory. You want real victory? You want real hype? Here's the real good news. I've died for you.
Praise
I want you to be with me forever.
Amen.
In eternity. Where there will be no more sin. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more
Amen.
Tears. There will only be
good news.
Good news forever. Thanks be to God for that. But in this perversion, it's just the opposite. This is their gospel. God loves you. You can go down to the gay parade. You can go to all these parades. You see Jerusalem, New York City. Oh, man, they're hyped. Even got scriptures up. Perverted. You've turned away from the truth. Judge not, lest you be judged. How many of you guys have heard that? Well, you, who are you to judge? I'm nobody. And I'm not judging you. I'm not your judge and jury. You don't have to answer to me. But I just want to simply point you to the source. And I see sin, just like I would expect. If you saw sin in my life, you better say something.
Yeah.
If God has put it on your heart to do so. That we might be delivered. I don't want to encourage you in the way of death. If Adam and Eve had a walk to the tree of life in the garden, once they sinned, they'd die. And we'd be forever lost. They were flaming swords guarding that tree once they sinned. They couldn't do it because it would have been permanent had they done it. No redemption possible. That's it. But thanks be to God. He made a way in His infinite wisdom. Human effort is another issue with the perversion of the gospel. Human effort. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. A few more scriptures. Wrap up. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? Indeed, it was in vain. Wow. Human effort. This is what they were dealing with. This is what Paul was dealing with in the perversion. Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you to obey the truth? Circumcision doesn't commend you to God. I got my sons circumcised, so what? They're still sinners.
All right.
You need a circumcision of your heart.
Amen.
I need a change of heart. I need a change of mind. I need to think differently. I need to see life as God sees it. I'll gain a different perspective. But then you will be no use to the world. The world will hate you. The world, I guarantee, will hate you. Well, who are you to judge? You're holy and I remember you was on a street corner. I remember you were smoking a joint with me back in the day. You got drunk with me. Now you're holier than now? No, I just chose to get out of my sin.
Amen.
I repented. I changed my mind towards that. That's all. That's the only difference. I believe God, and He saved me. That's
Amen.
It. Nothing more, nothing less.
Praise God, brother.
Nothing more, nothing less. Colossians 2:8. How about tradition? Philosophy. Gnosticism. You have this superior knowledge. This special knowledge that no one else has. Chapter 2 of Colossians. For I want you to know, verse 1, what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. What does Laodicea mean? People's opinions. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now I say this day, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Wow. Verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to the Christ, to Christ. What is he saying? Beware. Don't be cheated out of the grandest gift given to men.
Right.
Your salvation.
That's right.
Don't be cheated out of that.
Right.
Through philosophy. Through empty deceit. Through the tradition of men. According to the basic principles of the world. Well, what's the world? What are the basic principles of the world? We have to love no matter what.
Right.
No matter what. Well, what kind of love are we talking about? Your defined love or God's defined love?
All right.
There's a difference. Big difference.
Big difference.
Love according to truth. Love according to tolerance. I want you to be tolerant of my sin. I want you to accept my sin.
Right.
I don't want you to judge my sin.
Tell it.
Well, I can't help it, but that's what God says. It's wrong. I'm not judging you. Well, I got to get, pastor said it many times, I got to get out of this church, man. People judging me. People don't give two shakes about you. You're not all that in a bag of chips. But you're under conviction because God is here.
Yeah.
God is speaking to you. Don't be offended.
That's right.
And how many times have we know if we misuse the word of God, we can cut people's ears off, they can't hear.
That's right.
As has been taught from the pulpit. These are the worldly principles. Unnatural love versus real agape love. Positive thinking. Well, positive thinking, there's nothing wrong with that in a sense. You should be positive. You know, tomorrow could be a better day if I'm faithful to the Lord.
Right.
But it's also going to bring problems. I have more problems now as a born-again Christian than when I was unsaved.
Right. Yeah.
I have more problems now as a born-again Christian than when I was unsaved.
Right.
Why? Because my sin is revealed. Now I know right from wrong.
Amen.
Wow, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
My sin is ever before me. Who can deliver me from this body of death?
That's right.
No one but Jesus Christ the
Praise
Lord.
God. Praise God.
I got more problems now because it's all out there. When I was unsaved, my conscience was seared. It didn't matter. I just did what I did. I had no care in the world. Today I drink and be merry. Tomorrow I die. That's it. I'm good. I'm going to a better place. Where's that better place? I want to know that I'm going to heaven to be with the Lord.
Amen.
I want to know the assurance that, Lord, save my family, save my loved ones, save my friends, save anybody I come in contact with,
yes,
so I can see them in the life after this.
Amen.
Because you will not perish. He cannot destroy his image. It's either eternity with him or eternity in hell away from him.
That's right.
Your choice. He didn't go after the rich young ruler. He let him go. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to tell you that. You had to give up everything. You had to get rid of all your riches. I'm sorry I told you you were a sinner. So am I. Don't forget where you came from.
Amen.
I'm a sinner too, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
That's it. That's the only difference.
Amen.
These are the worldly principles. Or you put your stock in perishable wealth. Minds have been blinded, simply put, from the simplicity that's in Christ. In contrast, in closing, to the perversion of the gospel message, in a simpler form, you have the good news. Well, let's look at the good news. Turn with me to Malachi, chapter 3. Old Testament. In order to understand the good news, you have to understand what was going on in the Old Testament. What God says. Malachi chapter 3. Start in verse 6. This is why this is good news. A great starting point. He says, "For I am the Lord." This is in context of him talking about the coming Savior, the messenger that will prepare the way. But he says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Wait a minute. Understand this. If I'm going to understand the good news, we've examined a little bit of the bad news and the perversion and the elements of perversion. But you have to start in this right place if you're going to bear the good news. The Lord will not change.
That's right.
Oh, I wish I could go back to 1912 and 1800. Okay, so what? Oh, but we're in 2016. It's different now. No, the Lord, well, I won't have you turn there. But the other scripture, in accordance with that, is in the New Testament. Hebrews, thank you. Chapter 4, I believe it is. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Praise the Lord.
It's the same thing. He's saying the same thing. I am the Lord, I do not change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the good news. If I'm going to receive the good news, I have to know that it doesn't matter what age I'm in. God is still the same.
Amen.
God is still the same. And if I'm going to bear the good news, I have to understand that. He's unchangeable. Or actually, I quoted, I think it was 13. Sorry. The gospel requires obedience. Amen. It requires us to be obedient to the gospel. And if we're not obedient, which is a result of us believing it, then there is a judgment in accordance with that. It requires obedience. Will I find faith on the earth when I return? What is faith? Is it blind faith? No, if God wanted blind faith, He wouldn't have gave us this book.
That's right.
But He gave us this good book that we might see clearly His truth, that we might walk that narrow road. Many are on the broad road which leads to destruction because it's hype, it's lovely, it's pristine, it's beautiful, but it's short-lived. But in contrast, we have to have obedience to this. If not, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Let me show you what happens. I know we're looking at a lot of scriptures, but you know what? It's His word, not mine.
That's right.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Or, I'm sorry, chapter 1. Verse 8. Go back up to verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He comes in that day to be glorified in the saints and to be admired among all those who believe because of our testimony among you was believed. Taking vengeance on those who obey not the gospel. Taking vengeance on those who reject the good news. Simple. Simple. Jesus says in another place in Luke 6, I believe it is. Why do you call me Lord and don't obey my sayings? Uh-oh. That's talking about something heart-wrenching. Why do you call me Lord if you don't obey what I'm telling you? Repent, or you likewise shall perish in your sins. Change your mind, and I'm willing to make you a new creation.
That's right.
If you would submit to me, if you would just give up your own life, holding on to your own belief system, holding on to your own things, let go, let God.
Let God.
I do good works now because of the finished work.
Amen.
Ends do you. He finished the work for us to commend us to God. That's what He did. It's about truth. The real gospel is about truth. What's the truth? We've fallen. We've sinned against the Holy God. And there's no possible way of redemption without His own sacrifice. Abraham didn't walk through the sacrifices. God did.
Right.
He put him to sleep. No, I'll do it. Because only I can.
Right.
Only God can meet His own requirements.
That's right.
I can't, you can't. That's the truth. You're a sinner. Fallen from grace. What grace we had in the beginning was gone. But God has restored that grace through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And He wants to give it to you. He requires us to believe and to have faith. Because without faith, it is impossible, according to Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. You can't. You can't please Him if you don't believe Him. You can't. There's just no possible way. So when you encounter that co-worker, you encounter that friend, you encounter that loved one, don't shy away from preaching the truth, especially if the window's open to you to do so.
That's right.
That's our calling. We're all ministers and priests of God. We have to preach the gospel, but not some fledgling gospel, not some hyped up, watered down gospel, not some social gospel where we throw out the believing and faith in God and just go do our own works to improve society.
That's
That's the social gospel. That doesn't do anybody any good. I can feed the hungry all I want. If they don't have Jesus Christ, it does not matter.
That's right.
But we should look after the poor in the same breath.
Right.
Well, why are you doing this, sir? Why are you feeding me? Because Jesus fed me.
That's right.
And you need to give your life to him. And he'll do more than that for you.
Amen.
If you let him. Repent. Change your mind towards your sin and the sin of others as God points it out to you, that they might be delivered. Does anybody in here want to go to hell? No, I don't either. How many of you want to stay in this world? It's a different question. As has been presented many times, it's not heaven or hell, it's heaven or the world. What are your ties to this planet? Because when judgment comes, don't be tied to it. Be ready to go.
Amen.
I don't need my bags packed. I don't need my bags packed. He's going to clothe me with the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness. I don't need my bags packed. I don't need to take any of these garments. Lord, take them off.
Amen.
He's going to clothe me with the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness. Oh, I love that.
Praise God.
New clothing? Man, I'm going to look so sharp. So are you.
Amen.
If you come with me. So are you if you repent of your sins. You can look good too.
Praise you, Jesus.
I don't have to wear a polo and a hat and those jeans, all that dress, nice little skirt. No. The garments will be white as snow.
Hallelujah.
Pure, holy.
Yeah.
I love that. Forever. Before a holy God, worshiping him. Can't ask for more than that. And the last elements in closing are simple. Of the gospel message. Death needs to happen. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, Matthew 16, I'm just quoting it for the sake of time, he must first deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. We got to deny ourselves, right? If we don't, we're in trouble. Because you're not worthy of him if you don't deny yourself. You got to die to self. Second element, baptism, which encompasses the next two, along with the first one. Death. Burial, must die to our sins. Must bury the past. The past is past at last, and we celebrated it this morning through the communion. And the resurrection. He's going to bring you to new life. That's what baptism is all about. We've been witnessing many baptisms this summer so far. What a glorious thing. I'm always blessed to see people confess Jesus before men and not be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. The power of God, plan of salvation. To all those who believe, I'm not ashamed. Don't be ashamed of Jesus, because he's not ashamed of you.
That's right.
In one sense, the gospel message is very simple to understand. Jesus died and rose again so we can be saved. Each facet of the gospel message is very important. You must die to self. You must bury your sins. You must believe and put your faith in God, first and foremost, and receive the good news. You must receive it. Don't get it tainted. Don't get it twisted by listening to all the hype artists, all the money preachers. Don't get it twisted. Be careful. But you can't discern a counterfeit unless you know the real. I don't have to study a counterfeit. I need to study the real one so when a counterfeit comes, I know the difference. Study this. So when the counterfeits happen and people start talking to you, you can understand and discern it.
Amen.
But they don't teach us in churches now. They give you a syrupy sweet sermon. I'm not saying all churches are bad. There's some good ones out there.
Oh, yeah.
There's some very good ones out there. But at the same time, what did I learn of Christ? What does he want from me today? What do I need to get rid of out of my life of sin? And Lord, cast it out. Take it out of me so I can live for you. He doesn't need you to die for him because he's already done that. He needs you to live.
All right.
So you can be a testimony for him and for his glory. The true gospel centers on the person and work of Jesus Christ and him alone. If you guys add something to that or I add something to that, well, as Revelation tells us, the plagues of this book will be added to you. Whoa. Don't go beyond what's written. Stick to the scriptures. The gospel is the perfect life, atoning death, and the resurrection of Jesus, which is the power of God unto salvation. That's the gospel. It's the best news, in closing, that anyone will ever hear.
Amen.
Oh, you want $1 million. Woo! Well, that's good news, but but that might destroy you if God didn't want it for you. But I'll play the lottery until I die. For what? What is it going to gain you to gain the whole world and lose your soul?
That's right.
And what person does not need to hear and receive this good news? What person do you know that's not worthy of it? Well, everyone is not worthy of it, but they still need to hear it. And we need to give it in faith, trusting in the Lord to deliver our loved ones, to deliver our friends, to deliver our co-workers, to deliver those sinners God put in our lives, to deliver our children. They only can live on your faith so long, parents. They got to come into their own. Well, they will have to give account one day, too. On their own. They're not going to say, oh, well, my mom, my dad. Well, yeah, we're going to have to give account for the impact we had on your life, too. You should tremble at that. It's a privilege to be a mother or a father. Because it'll, in the end, it'll determine where you'll spend eternity. God is calling us to choose this day, according to Joshua 24. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
That's it. It's simple.
Amen.
But so hard to obtain. Call on the name of the Lord while still today and be saved. Please. Don't reject this truth.
Amen.
Don't give me some fairy tales about all this numeric. We got numbers. We got, well, you got to understand this and this. Wait, no, just let's take it what's written. Let's start to believe there first.
That's right.
Let's take God at face value first.
That's right.
Because the concepts that we come up with and we contrive will take us so far away from Him. It could be scary. Because in the end, according to Revelations 14, the gospel is going to be proclaimed one more time. The angels will fly in the heavens proclaiming the gospel to all those who dwell on the earth. Give glory to God.
Amen.
One more time. This is how faithful God is.
Yes.
Turn one more time.
Wow.
Before the hammer falls. We can walk out of here today. You can get hit by a car. You can get in a car accident. You can die. And then what? It's appointed to all men to die and then the judgment.
Right.
That's what His Word says.
That's right.
Then the judgment. And I'm fearful that many could die in their sins. And then it's the judgment. It's too late. Like I always tell my players in basketball, once you foul out of the game, you can't go up to the referee and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make that last foul, and sit on the bench, and you're trying to beg the referee to put you in the game. Guess what the referee's going to tell you? No, can't do it. You can't go to God on Judgment Day, oh, Lord, now I get it. Put me back. Too late. You had your chance.
That's right.
Lord, sin, let me go back to my brothers and warn them of this place, as the rich man said from afar in the depths of hell. He was conscious. He was very alive. Remember, God is not going to destroy His image if you don't accept the gospel. It's just eternal damnation. Yikes.
Yes.
I wouldn't want that for you. I wouldn't want that for me. This is why I love Jesus so much. This is why I've forsaken the things of the world. And it's a work in progress, isn't it?
Amen.
You just can't do it overnight.
Amen.
It doesn't happen like that. It's a work in progress. And God wants to deliver you. He wants to deliver me. And He wants to deliver the whole world.
Amen.
And He's done it.
Amen.
He's done it. It's not something we work for. It's something that's given. Thank you, Jesus, for your salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. In the simplest form, Lord, that you came. You became a man. You saw the plight of men and our sinful state and our enslavery to our own sins, Lord. And you did something about it. And we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the redeeming power that you have in the blood of Jesus. Lord God, I pray today, not only for those under the sound of my voice, but even for me, Lord. Help us to continue to put our faith and trust in the good news. Help us to discern.